going on? This is Tokyo Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Chicago Bullseye. We have the great Keith Frantz on. Keith, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Just counting down the days until draft night.
I know. It's exciting. It's so exciting, and I can tell already it's going to be an interesting few weeks leading up to that draft because, man, oh, man, do we disagree. And we, and not only do I think I disagree with the vast majority of people. I've just begun my research. I've just begun watching tapes and hours of these players. And there's a couple guys that are just beloved that I'm just absolutely bewildered at what people are seeing. But, you know, we'll get into that. Why don't we get into it now? Why not? Let's just hit the ground running.
Start right in.
Well, first of all, before we get into that, share a little bit of Twitter. I saw you were going at it with our friend Mark from Australia. What was his beef on a second-round pick? Could you go into that a little bit and explain what his point was? I didn't get a chance to get into it in depth.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of the portion of Bulls Nation who is the FireGar PAX part of Bulls Nation that holds ultimate resentment against the Bulls for selling the draft pick that became Jordan Bell.
That had nothing to do with Gar Pax, of course. That's management, and that's you know, that would still exist with whoever is you know, kind of handling this team.
Well, ultimately, there's still a big fuss about the sale of that 38th pick, regardless of the matter that keeping that roster spot open resulted in Nwaba, Quincy Pondexter, and the second that we eventually traded back to New Orleans for the 22nd pick, so you can call that equity, you know, like what the Bulls said that they were trying to do when they sold the pick. And they also signed Antonio Blakeney. So there's a lot of people that are still upset that Jordan Bell isn't a Bull, even though the Bulls had absolutely no intentions of drafting Jordan Bell, or they would not have sold the pick to Golden State. Golden State has also bought a second the year previous that was Patrick McCaw from the Milwaukee Bucks, ironically, at number 38 for less money than they paid the Bulls. So take that how you will. I just think people are getting a little bent out of shape about a player who was never going to be a Bull being a Bull.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted Jordan Bell. I was on record for saying it. I couldn't believe he fell that far. I don't know what he's like. There were a couple of things during the season that really turned me off that I saw with him. He doesn't have a ton of offensive skill, but I thought he was an excellent defender, which he clearly is. But, you know, people are acting like he's Bill Russell. I mean, goodness gracious. I don't understand the just sheer – I mean, how long are they going to suffer for that sin? And when it's not even – to me, that's not on Pax or Gar. That if they're making deals like that, that's due to the fact that they have restrictions that other GMs don't. And as I said before, I'll say it again, whoever we bring in here, whoever they prefer, even St. Hickey, is going to be under those same restrictions. So, you know, we could cry about it all day. I'm not. I don't think he's a guy, after watching him all year, that I feel like is going to really make a massive difference. You know, I would have liked to have him on the team, but I'm fine without him, you know. So we'll be fine. I'd rather have David Nwaba if that's the choice.
Well, and the only argument that could be made is a player that went to Memphis, Dylan Brooks, Jordan Bell's college teammate, is somebody the Bulls missed on. We needed a small forward. Dylan Brooks went past 38th, and we all saw what he was able to do for Memphis in their horrible tanking season. So obviously take that with a grain of salt. He had an extended role and more, you know, leeway than he would have been given if they weren't tanking, but that would be the intelligent argument. If you want to be upset about the Bulls selling a second, you can be upset about them missing on Dylan Brooks. But they didn't miss on Jordan Bell. They just never had any intentions of drafting him.
All right, so on to the pick, obviously the important one coming up at hand. I've been seeing a lot of insanity. I just think it's complete insanity for people suggesting the Bulls should drop back, make a trade with the Clippers for their 12 and 13 and leave 7. which to me is probably one of the dumbest suggestions I've ever seen, since I think there's like a gulf between like 11 and 12. I think this is probably 11 deep draft if you count both Bridges, and I think both of them are worth a pick. Do you disagree?
I disagree in the sense, if you were able to trade back and still get one of the Bridges, in the sense of a contingent trade, you know, this guy's here, we'll send you X for that pick and said player. So if a Bridges or even a Knox is there at 12 and 13, I could understand the logic behind it. But I am a firm believer of staying at 7. There is 7 great prospects that aren't point guards. We are guaranteed one of them. So staying where we are and seeing how the board falls, maybe trade up. But the Knicks are also apparently heavily interested in Trae Young, and there's a mutual kind of feel there. So maybe trading back to 9 and still getting one of the Bridges and getting an extra pick. The Knicks do have the 36th pick that is actually our second round pick that was traded in the Taj trade that ended up going to New York for Melo.
You know what I think about second round picks. I'd much rather stay at 7 and take the best player available there, because you never know what New York's going to do. I mean, who knows, right? They could waste their pick on Trae Young, or they could, you know, take somebody that you really wanted, and then you lose out at 9. I'd
well, prefer... my only point would be to give them Trae Young at 7 and trade back, and possibly at 9th, my opinion of Mikal being too old to take at 7 or a role player at 7 changes at 9-10. You get Mikal Bridges, you get an extra pick, and you passed on Trae Young or whatever big was left there for you at 7. So that's an option.
All right, so we're going to go into Mo Bamba then, because let's get into Mo Bamba. Everybody loves Mo Bamba. He won the measurement lottery. He came with an 8-foot wingspan. I've spent probably about 2 hours watching tape of this guy, and I'm mortified that people think this guy is a top 7 pick. Number one, what is the most important asset offensively for a big man probably in today's game, would you say?
I mean, I guess you could argue with Karl-Anthony Towns that spreading the floor, which is something that he did more effectively than several people in college. He actually took more threes than most. He did average under 30%.
Yeah,
but his shooting mechanics have changed, and it's not all about offense. It's about balance. You look at the Rockets. James Harden is a offensive guru. What did they need to surround him with? A whole bunch of defensive players and a center who sits there and does nothing but catch lobs, get rebounds, and block balls.
That's fine. You don't do that at 7. You don't take a guy like that who's like a role player. That's what you're describing, a role player, a guy who just, you know, blocks shots and gets rebounds at 7.
I'm describing a player with an elite skill set that would protect Lowry Markkanen's flaws.
Elite skill set based on what?
Around your best player.
That he blocks shots?
Bamba makes Lowry better.
But he's not. All right, so let's take another step back. What I was getting at is, I think to be a big man who deserves a top 10 pick, you sure as heck better bring something offensively, and that means to be able to participate in the most common play that you'll see on an NBA court, which is a pick and roll or pick and pop, some action where the big man's setting a pick. I've watched hours of tape. I've never seen him set a pick, not one, in college. Shaka Smart's coaching Texas now. So is he a moron? No, he's a very smart guy. He knows he can't do it because he's 225 and he's thin as a rail, and he can't set a pick, and he can't pick and pop, and he can't pick and roll. That's why he's doing it. I mean, seeing Mark from Australia wax poetic about this clip, I laughed out loud. Because what was the clip? Look at the athleticism with an uncontested dunk. Like, that's the play you'll see the least in the NBA, is an uncontested dunk. And that's all I saw in his highlight film. And that's all I saw in some of those games. Yeah, sure, he's got some nice block shot ability. He's not like an uber athlete. He's awkward. He's way too skinny. I tell me why I'm wrong. What am I missing?
My confliction with you saying he's too skinny is you want Mikal Bridges at 7 instead over Bamba. Mikal Bridges is just as skinny, and he plays a position that has to guard the most athletic athletes in the world.
I disagree.
At the small 100%. Forward position in the NBA.
I don't see how you look at Mikal Bridges and say, "Oh my!" No one would look at Mikal Bridges walking and seeing that guy and say they're equally skinny. One guy's built well. He's built well.
One guy put on 15 pounds since the end of his college season. The other guy refused to take measurements because of concerns. Or maybe he sat out because he is the Bulls pick, and he sat out just like Chandler Hutchinson, who apparently has a guarantee. That's a possibility, too. But to say that McHale at the 3 is not as skinny as Bamba at the 5 confuses me. Everybody had the same things that you're saying about Bamba, about Lowry, who was in a system with Sean Miller. No. It didn't work. Lowry was one-dimensional.
You look at Lowry, nobody. I totally disagreed with anyone who looked at Lowry and said, man, he's too skinny. He's not built like, you know, Lou Ferrigno, but he wasn't too skinny. I totally disagree with that. It wasn't like he was like rail thin.
He weighs the same as Bamba.
Yeah, but this guy's rail thin. This guy's got the eight foot.
He's rail thin because his arms are 7'10".
Yes,
he's got rail the same thin. Body mass as Lowry.
And he's 226.
Lowry's 225.
No, he's rail thin at sending picks, and he's awkward in his movements, and he's not exceptionally quick laterally. Watching this Golden State Houston series. You drop Bamba. Who is he guarding? Who's he going to stop? He's not stopping anybody. Maybe if he's on Golden State, you put him on Capella for a little bit. Look how Bell's been embarrassed in this series anytime he gets pick and rolled on Harden. There's no way this guy is. I mean, it's like insanity to me that people think this guy is worth the number 7 pick. Hey, if he's got 22, I'd be all for it. That's great. You don't play a project when you have legit talent there at 7. Like Wendell Carter Jr., another point, too. Hold on one more second. I got one more, Keith. 30 games in college. He had 17 games with no assists. His high assist was 2 for Mo Bamba. The guy can't pass. He can't pass. He can't shoot. He's a 68% free throw shooter. Now, yeah, I understand with thousands of hours of work in the gym, there's the potential he could get better. He's 20 years old. He's a year older than Wendell Carter. Why is he a better prospect than Wendell Carter?
Because Wendell Carter is elite at being good at everything and being big. Mo Bamba has an elite skill with the biggest wingspan ever recorded in the combine.
What's the skill? Wingspan? Box. What does that mean?
Blocking. Well, what does it mean for Mikal Bridges? That's the whole reason.
He's 7'2" wingspan as a 3. Right now, I can't believe when you watch Mikal Bridges, I'm telling you right now, if you dropped him on the Bulls, he would immediately be the Bulls' best perimeter defender. Bamba wouldn't. He wouldn't be the best interior defender. He can't guard. Do you throw him on Embiid? You know what Embiid would do to him? He's 35 pounds heavier. He can't guard him.
He worked out with Embiid. He studied film with Embiid.
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean that doesn't matter? If he's working with him in the post, he knows what the most physical center in the NBA does. He knows
not on an NBA court when the whistle blows and there's fans in the stands. You don't think Embiid's going to embarrass that guy? He's not strong enough to guard Embiid
in the
post. The
NBA's soft. It don't matter if you're not strong anymore. You can't touch anybody.
I think there's nothing that matters more for a center than lower body strength. He doesn't have it. I think that's the most important thing. You have to have some level of strength as a 4 or 5 down low to guard. And he does not have any strength. It's embarrassing. I'm just floored that this guy is being talked about offensively, he was so awful in the videos I saw, in the games I saw. As far as I can tell, all people are talking about are the 9 threes he hit in a row, standing still from the same spot.
And he also hit 40 out of 53 after that. So you're being a little too critical. Do me a favor after this call. Go look up Anthony Davis's college numbers. Bamba took more shots, shot more threes, and had one less block than Anthony Davis in college.
He
was more offensive than Anthony Davis.
I'm telling you, the eye test, I can't even believe you're throwing him in even a remote comparison to Anthony Davis. He's nowhere near.
Do I think Bamba is going to be Anthony Davis? No, that would be insane. Anthony Davis played guard throughout his whole entire career before he hit a growth spurt.
And you watch Anthony Davis, and he was awesome, and he was great, and he led his team to victories. This guy led his team to nothing. He was the third best player in the offensive
line. Which college?
Texas. Are we acting like Texas is like some kind of joke of a school?
No, but their next best player was their point guard, Roach.
Offensively,
who was behind Brunson, the best player overall.
I laugh at this one. Let's throw this one out there. Yeah, Brunson was the best player. No, he wasn't. No, he was.
Why did he score more points, average more assists, was their leader, and won conference player of the year over McKeldin?
Okay. I'm just laughing at this one. You know, it's the same thing I heard with Mo Pete. Mo Pete went to Michigan State. He had like a 10-year career when they won the title in 2000, and all everybody talked about was Mateen Cleaves, who had the pro career. Mo Pete. This guy is exactly – he's in the same vein, but he's better. And I just don't understand also people talking like about Bridges, like his ceiling is – it's just like Ariza.
He's robotic. He has a hitch in his shot. He comes from a system program. Would you have overpaid Danny Green from the Spurs because of what he did as a 3-and-D role player for them in the playoffs through a championship?
He's taller and longer and much more athletic than Danny Green. There's every no comparison to that.
Every comparison to Mikhail outside of Kawhi is a second-round pick or an undrafted pick. And there is wings littered at 22.
Well,
that are
all you got to say, we better hope
to
God.
22.
We better hope to God that none are as good as him. Nobody shot 43% from three and won it. It was a member of the best team easily in college basketball.
Nobody was also being set up by Jalen Brunson all year, who was arguably the best point guard in the league many people in college.
Everything he did was according to Jalen Brunson and his greatness. Give me a break. Jalen Brunson, he's a good player. He's the number one pick, no doubt about it. So is Vincenzo. I like that guy better than almost. I'd love to see him with the second pick. I don't know. It's mind boggling to me. Just all you do is just watch him.
Don't boggle your mind too much.
He immediately be the best.
Sleep easily.
He's a better perimeter defender than anybody in the Bulls right now. And if you threw him with Dunn, they'd immediately. I think they'd have one of the better perimeter defenses in basketball.
And they would, and then we'd be right back in mediocrity at an eighth seed
in the East,
first round exit. Yes, Fred.
Yeah, maybe this year. Maybe this year. Hold on.
And then we get a mediocre pick, and we're right back to where we were, picking at the end of the lottery or out of the lottery, and we don't have any way to acquire more talent.
No, assuming
if Bamba is a project behind Rolo, or Wendell Carter is a project behind Rolo. That's fine.
Wendell Carter's not a project. There's no way anyone could call him a project. He was a 62% true shooting percentage. He sets fantastic picks. He's a great passer. He plays awesome defense. He's a great shot blocker. There's nothing I don't like about Wendell Carter.
That's a debate I could get into. Wendell Carter over Bamba. I can understand your points on Wendell Carter.
There we go.
22-year-old 3-and-D player at number 7 on a rebuilding team is not the pick.
Wendell Carter is also a year younger than Bamba. That's another thing I don't get. So, hold on a second. He's not 22. He's 21, and he's a year older than Bamba. So, I'm talking about Mikal Bridges for anyone who's listening. So Mikal Bridges is a year older. And he's penalized for that. But Bamba's a year older than Carter, but he's not? I don't get it.
I already told you. I went and re-looked at Wendell Carter because you used my own logic against me. I went and I studied a whole bunch of film on Wendell Carter, and I can understand your argument over Carter, over Bamba. Over Mikal, who was a red-shirted freshman because he was too gangly to even put on the floor and spent 4 total years in college. To compare him to a one-year prospect who has had 1 year of college training, 1 year of college experience, doesn't make sense.
All right. We're not going to agree on this one because I'm telling you right now, if he improves a ton, he may be in a decent, at least a player you can throw on the court. Mo Bamba today cannot play basketball in the NBA. He's not.
Mo Bamba weighed more than Clint Capella when he was drafted. Clint Capella weighed 5 less pounds
like
than Mo Bamba.
He's shorter. He's more muscular, even when he was drafted.
He's
right,
more
right.
muscular now.
Where
after
was, where
four
was,
years of development, yeah, where, Fred.
Capella was drafted at 22, right? 23, something around there.
He was drafted further back, yeah. As was Gobert, who is now
27.
Arguably the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, Gobert was 238 pounds when drafted. He's 250 now. That's another one I always hear. Oh, he's the next Gobert. No, he's not. He's not going to put on 30 pounds of muscle. If he puts on 12 pounds, he's still too light to guard and beat. I don't understand if that's it, if that's the guy we got to have down low and he can't guard and beat, then what good is he going to be?
happening. I think you got a point, but like I said, the NBA is soft. You can't touch anybody anymore anyway. So it's not about being the most physically brute. It's about being able to guard the perimeter as well as the interior and being a massive presence. He clogs up the lane. But at the end of the day, you get to sleep easy knowing that there's only a 1 in 7 chance that the Bulls pick him because he's not within their choice. Who falls to them?
Well, I think he will be there. I think people, when after it's all said and done, I cannot believe people would be so dumb to look at what Wendell Carter has done, who's clearly got the ability to evolve as a 3-point shooter. He's got excellent shot and he's got excellent form. And there's just like literally nothing I dislike about. I can't find any faults with Carter at all. I think he's so much more progressed as an offensive player than I expected. I didn't watch him that much because everybody was talking about Bagley. Bagley was nice. Bagley's a very talented offensive player. Defensively, Bagley's not that good. In fact, everything on defense for Duke was led by Carter. It was like so eye-opening how good that guy was at protecting the rim and how strong he is. He's 250. I mean, you know, there's no question about it. He weighed in at 250. He's 1 inch shorter than Bamba, and he weighed in 30 pounds heavier. And they had about the same exact pound, you know, body fat. So at least you're coming around to that one. I do take solace in that fact that people are starting to come around to Carter.
There is film of Carter, Dustin Aitman High School. There's plenty of good stuff to go off of from college as well. And obviously being compared to Al Horford doesn't hurt anybody with what Al Horford's doing in the playoffs.
Not at all. Al Horford Al Horford's a modern-day center, and so is Wendell Carter.
I won't dispute that. My only issue with you is wanting to draft McHale at 7th. If we're at 9th, like I stated earlier, I have no problem with it.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. It's going to be great. So I guess that's where we differ. I mean, if Bamba's there, somebody good's going to be there at 7. And if Bamba is there and Mikal Bridges is there, not only that, Miles Bridges. Another one, I've been starting to hear rumblings that Miles is skyrocketing up the ranks. He's a sophomore. He's a little younger. And I love a ton of things about Miles Bridges. I think he's going to evolve into just a fantastic NBA player. What do you say about Miles?
That I agree on. It was pretty funny. I compared him to Vince Carter, and I said, I know this is a reach, but the ferocity is there. Vince Carter is also 6'6", 220. The day after, Miles posted a picture with Vince Carter pointing at him, saying, look, it's the older me. So that was pretty funny. I'm high on Miles. I think Miles fits a need that we need more than Mikal does. Mikal is going to be a 2-3 tweener with possibly the versatility to guard 1 through 4. But I don't see it with his size and his gangliness as where Miles most definitely could defend at least 2 through 4, maybe even 2 through 5.
Yeah, you can go small with him and play him at the 4, no doubt. I feel that way. I think he's like built like a football player. Yeah, Miles is definitely stronger, bigger than Mikal. Mikal obviously shoots at his elderly age of 21, shoots it a little bit better. But I love so much about Miles Bridges. And I would be ecstatic if we got him.
Miles is essentially the Wendell Carter in your Carter-Bamba argument between Miles and Mikal. There you go.
Yeah, thing about Miles that it gives me a little pause. I didn't see enough of, you know, kind of like taking over games and kind of leading and just kind of dominating. And maybe it's just because I haven't watched enough tape on him. I did watch Michigan State more than Duke, I'd say, over the course of the year. And I think Jaren Jackson was more impressive to me by far than Miles. But I liked Miles a lot before the season started. I was kind of shocked he didn't go into the draft. And I think he's been kind of penalized for that, for going back. I think if you just, you know, threw a 19-year-old on him or say he was a freshman, he'd be talked about in top 5.
He was last year. He was talked around 16, though, and now he's projected around 10. So while I do agree, I feel he is being penalized for having similar production across the board as he did his freshman year. He didn't take a leap. He is projected higher this year than he was last year, and this draft is arguably more top heavy than last year. Although they say that every year, so.
I just hope the Knicks aren't dumb enough to take Trae Young. Like, If one of the bridges falls to Philly, I am going to be sick, just absolutely stinking sick to my stomach.
It's going to be even worse if Knox falls to him, though. He's got the most size out of all of them. Though he doesn't fit their timeline like Mikal does. Obviously, you take Mikal, you put him on the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's the perfect fit there. He's from Philadelphia. He's the plug-and-play, ready-to-go player that a playoff team needs, and that's my point behind Mikal and not taking him at seven, is Mikal is who we needed when we had Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose. He's who we needed in between them. He's not who we need right now in the first year of a rebuild.
Now, again, that's where I disagree. I think Laurie just made first-team All-NBA. I think Laurie is the alpha, and I know I'm in a minority here thinking that he has top-10 ability. He can be a top-10 player in the NBA, and if he is that, Mikal's exactly the type of player you need. You know, it's a guy you need. You can't have enough of those 3-and-D guys, and I think he gets pigeonholed into the 3-and-D when he's actually a rim wrecker. He attacks the rim very well. He's a great dunker, fearless at it, and he would fit in so well with Laurie. All these guys would. The one guy I don't feel that would is the one that everybody loves, Bamba, who can't do jack, who's basically you don't have to guard on the offensive end. But
he literally does the one thing that Lowry can't, and that makes Lowry better. That's the point. You build around your star player. You hide your star player's weaknesses.
What's that?
Box, Fred, defense. Presence, yeah, low post presence.
I didn't
people aren't going to want to go down there.
Here's what you do against Bamba. You put out like PJ Tucker at the center, or you go slow, and then you bring him out, and then he can't guard anybody.
And then how many rebounds are you getting over Lowry Markkanen and Mo Bamba? That's the point. You want to line
up
that other teams are adjusting
up,
to.
If Mo Bamba's at the top of the 3-point line, obliterated by a pick, he's not going to be anywhere near the rim anyhow. The guy averaged like 10 rebounds in college. It's not like he was a machine, you know, just tearing down 18 a game. It makes me nauseous just because it's not just you. It's everyone I know loves this guy, and I don't understand why. And, you know, I think I have a good track record on this, seeing these guys that people loved, and I can't figure out why. And I think it's very dangerous when people fall in love with measurements. It's very dangerous. But we'll see. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, if we end up drafting him and I throw up all over myself, I'll still be cheering for him and hoping that he ends up being something good. But
oh, no, I hope I'm at that draft party so I can get a picture of you throwing up and then I can take a screenshot of your, okay, I was wrong. Bamba compliments Lowry perfectly. And then I can share that with everybody.
You know, I'll admit this. I wasn't that excited about marketing because I really wanted Malik Monk last year. That was a guy I knew was going to be available. I was excited about him. And, you know, Monk turned it on at the end of the year, but he's nowhere near in marketing's stratosphere. But the one thing about marketing that you saw in the videos is that he had a fantastic shot and he could hit the three. And that skill translates to the NBA. You know, everybody was talking about, well, look at this guy. Look at Bamba. He averaged 3.7 in 30 minutes as a college. Hashim Thabeet averaged 3.8 in 24 as a freshman. Hashim Thabeet had better block numbers than Mo Bamba. So I don't want to hear how that translates. It doesn't. You better have an offensive skill if you're going to be picked in the top seven. And he has zero. So
impressed everybody at the combine with his intelligence, dedication, and know-how. So maybe you'll get lucky and he'll go in the top five and you don't have to worry about having Bamba nightmares for the next 10 years.
I can't. Well, if he's playing Jeopardy then against the Sixers, then that's great. But he's playing basketball and we're in big trouble. I don't even know if he's
on the
court.
It's the same reason the Bulls drafted Lowry. A high character, intelligent, dedicated.
Who can hit the three? He's a big man that can hit the three. What are you talking about? There's absolutely zero semblance other than the fact they're both tall. I mean,
and they were both called one-dimensional, and they were both called too soft for the NBA, and they both were disregarded
by
people like yourself, and the Bulls shocked the world when they took Lowry Sem.
If the one dimension is hitting the threes, I'm down. If the one dimension is blocking shots, you can pound sand. There's no way he's going to be that good. Anyhow, we'll get off of him. Let's go a little bit into so do you agree with me, though, that one of the bridges is going to be there for the Sixers? Because if that's true...
I do. I actually feel... As much as I've gotten some negative feedback on the possibility of trading Bobby Portis, I like the idea of taking best available, likely big at seven, and trading up from 22nd and trying to get either one of the bridges or Knox. And then we leave this draft with a top prospect in the big area and a top prospect in the wing area. And then you sign Noah Vonleh to half the contract that Bobby Portis is going to sign instead of letting him walk for free.
Interesting. Oh, boy. So, wait. You want to trade Portis? I'm going to get this straight. For what?
I would trade Portis in 22 up to 10 to 14 to grab either of the Bridges or Knox.
I don't see any team that would do that, though.
Like, I mean, we might have to throw some seconds or eat some cap. Charlotte has a lot of cap problems.
Throwing seconds. Oh, no, don't tell Mark from Australia.
Don't let half the Bulls Nation hear that we're getting rid of our future second picks that we got for Jameer Nelson and all that other nonsense that we did at the deadline. God forbid we get rid of those pick swaps.
Man, oh, man. I don't think, as much as I like Bobby Portis, I don't think a team would take. I mean, do you really feel that's realistic or even possible that somebody would take
Bobby Portis? I feel Bobby Portis raised his value quite a bit. Hell, we got a first for Nico and he wanted out of here. Bobby Portis maintained similar numbers that Nico had in his peak with the Bulls throughout the rest of the season off the bench. I do feel Bobby Portis has starter caliber for most teams in the NBA. Unfortunately, he's going to be stuck behind Lauri Markkanen the rest of his life if he stays at Chicago Bull. And he's looking for probably anywhere between 10 to 15 million because we paid Felicio 8. So I just feel that Bobby Portis's value is probably the highest it's ever going to be. If we sign him to a 4-year, 10 or $15 million contract, by the time we pay Lowry, now we're trying to trade Bobby Portis on a 2-year, $30 million deal that is much harder to move than selling him on the last year of his rookie contract.
Interesting. I'd love to hear, get some feedback from anybody who's listening. Shoot me an email, chicagobullseye@gmail.com, if you feel that's possible. Or at CBE Fred, Chicago Bullseye Fred, at CBE Fred. Keith, you're at Bull Scripted, right, on Twitter?
That is correct.
And let's get your feedback on this one, because I disagree. I like Bobby, but he's eligible for an extension, right? He's not a restricted free agent next year. He'll be a restricted free agent next year. This year, he'll be a restricted free agent next year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think he
is. No, you're correct.
So, you know, you still got him quasi-cheap, but he's going to cost you soon. I mean, I liked him a lot offensively. I thought he had a great year, but I find it hard to believe that there's a major market for him, at least enough to move up from 12. But who knows? Maybe you're right. And I would absolutely do that. I would trade Portis and 22 to get up to 12, and then we can get your Knox, but we'll see. You know, even if we don't, though, and you keep Portis and you take whoever that is at 22, it better be a wing.
Oh, no, there's wings loaded out the wazoo at 22. So keeping Bobby wouldn't be a bad idea. I love Portis. I love the energy he brings off the bench. All the Bulls' young rookies hang out at Bobby's house. He's ultimately kind of a behind-the-doors leader. So keeping Bobby would not offend me in the slightest. I just think leaving this draft with a top big and a top three wing would be fantastic. And then they can go ahead and buy a second and draft anybody just to piss off the rest of Bulls Nation.
Before we jump off here, we're all already over 30. I want to get your take on this Hutchinson story. What did you feel about this? And, you know, everybody's about ready to jump out a window over it. What did you feel about it?
Well, I was actually the one that put the kind of crazy connection between agencies from Priority Sports. Kilpatrick has the same agent as Michael Porter Jr. Hutchinson has a agent that's from Priority Sports. Bobby is also with Priority Sports talking about an extension. And Michael Porter Jr. has made it public that he cares more about where he lands than where he's drafted, and his agent is handling his medicals. So it's kind of a little, we doing favors to get MPJ at 7 to get him to hold out from his workouts. But I like Hutchinson. He played at Boise State. He is 22, 4-year prospect.
Oh no,
that's what you look for around 22, Fred. that's a 22nd pick.
We're trying to find another
Jimmy Butler.
I look for the best player wherever you pick, and if he represents that, I'm fine with that. I'm cool with it.
All right, we'll well, back to Hutchinson. He's 6'7", probably has over a 7-foot wingspan, could even be taller than 6'7", and he really took off this season. He averaged 20 points a game, and he had a 44-point game. Granted, he's playing against mediocre competition compared to some other college schools. But to me, he kind of reminds me a little bit of a Paul George. He's great at finishing around the rim, and he gives great defensive effort. So if we don't trade up and Hutchinson is there at 22, I love the pick.
All right, my man. On that note, we're going to wrap it up. I want to watch the end of this Rockets-Golden State game. All the best to you, brother. Great discussions. I'm sure we'll have many of them going forward. And hopefully I'll continue review. For next week, I do want to review Jaren Jackson Jr., get deep into his game. Kid I really like. And unfortunately, I don't think will be there for us. But I would take him in a heartbeat.
Hey, maybe one of the teams in the top five takes your best friend Bamba instead of Jackson, and JJJ falls to us at 7.
Oh, we can only hope there's somebody so incredibly dumb to do that, but I doubt it.
Hey, we got the Suns, the Kings, the Hawks.
Maybe you're right.
The Magic.
It's doable. The Kings are in there. It's all possible. Oh, my God.
Out of the realm of possibility.
Doncic. I want to talk about Doncic next week because I've been starting to watch tape on him. You're not going to like it. We got to get Mark from Australia maybe on the next one, my man, because it'll be an interesting debate. But I've been watching a lot of Doncic, and you're not going to like my review. I doubt you will. All right, my man.
All right, take it easy, boss. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.